flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
USAID. The head of Doge, Elon Musk, called USAID a criminal organization and added that it is time for it to die. Do you agree with that?
They have basically evolved into an agency that believes that they're not even a U.S. government agency, that they are out, they are a global charity, that they take the taxpayer money and they spend it as a global charity, irrespective of whether it is in the national interest or not in the national interest. One of the most common complaints you will get if you go to embassies around the world from State Department officials and ambassadors and the like is USAID is not only not cooperative, they undermine the work that we're doing in that country. They are supporting programs that upset the host government for whom we're trying to work with on a broader scale and so forth. So they're completely unresponsive. They just don't consider that they work for the U.S. They just think they're a global entity and that their master is the globe and not the United States. And that's not what the statute says, and that's not sustainable.
Well, Secretary of State Marco Rubio has been very busy since his confirmation, and the USAID developments over the last 48 hours, I think there's a lot of people getting really worked up about it, but they didn't know what USAID was before this week. I'm curious as to what our next guest thinks about this move so far. Jim Carafano joins us once again, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back. It's always good to have you here.
Yeah, so let me give you a little history lesson. So, look, I'm not against foreign aid. During the Cold War, foreign aid was run by the State Department. And the reason for that was because we were fighting the Soviet Union and we were spending our money to drive outcomes that would help defend us and our allies against the Soviet Union. So if you think of things famously, like, for example, the Marshall Plan, that was a program that was run by the State Department. Later on, after the Cold War, we decided to split out grant making from the State Department. And by the way, split out things like, you remember, Voice of America, which used to be run by the State Department. And we spun these off as separate agencies because we were living in a world, you know, where history had ended. We didn't have any enemies. And by having these organizations be relatively independent, you know, we could say to the world, it's not America imposing its will upon you. It's America helping you. Well, two things happened. One is we elected yahoos like Joe Biden, who said, no, the purpose of these agencies isn't to help Americans or to help other people. It's to help us, right, to drive our political agenda. And the other thing that happened is, we're actually facing real enemies, and we need to use foreign aid when we use it to help fight our enemies. And so we need to go back to a model in which we've centralized these authorities, just like the military, when it fights wars during World War II, the Army and the Navy and the Air Force didn't all fight separate wars. They fought under one unified command. So for that, so there's good reasons to centralize foreign aid and, to be honest with you, things like voice of America under one centralized authority, because we're facing real enemies in China, Iran, and Russia. But I got to say one other thing. This politicization of aid, people have no idea how bad this has gotten. Now, I'll give you an example. I was talking to a U.S. to an ambassador to the United States who said they spent 90% of their time, 90% being lectured by the State Department and USAID and all these other things about the Biden political agenda on things like LGBT rights. And 10% of her time on actually doing kind of foreign policy with the U.S. government. So this thing has gotten completely out of control. And the people that are defending USAID have no defense. The reality is look, I talked to Africans. I was in a major meeting with a bunch of Africans, and they said, look, we don't want foreign aid. You know why? Because we never see a nickel. 90% of the money that gets put into these programs gets consumed by the NGOs running the program. And at the end, there's almost no money to actually do the program. So people who are defending these programs, they're either stupid, they're the devil, or literally they are part of the machine that was profiting from these things, because literally these things had devolved into political agendas that were money laundering machines. And that's the truth of American foreign aid. Not everywhere, not everything in Ukraine, not everything with Israel or other places, but a significant portion of this thing was just a money laundering scheme.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano right now. I have so many questions, and I want to do it at a very basic level. I told you this last summer, was it 2 summers ago? My producer and I, Brad and I, went to the border. And we went to McAllen, Texas, but we also got to go into a Catholic Charities and see up close and personal what Catholic Charities were doing. And I didn't know, like, there's a lot of talk out about Catholic Charities, but I didn't know any of that until I went in and saw it, and then I started researching it afterwards. And having talked to the people within Catholic Charities, those people in there couldn't even really articulate to me in a way that made me feel like this was totally on the up and up. There were just weird ways that things were discussed within that group. And you mentioned NGOs specifically. And I don't think that people listening right now on the whole really understand what an NGO is, why they operate, why they exist. Can you tell us from your perspective what an NGO is?
It's supposed to be a non-government organization, which means it's supposed to not be politically affiliated with the government.
Is that what they are?
NGO. Well, but that's kind of the joke. NGOs can take money from government. And these charities took billions of dollars from the U.S. government basically to be the foot soldiers in President Biden's human trafficking network. Basically, we paid them billions of dollars to do the last mile for the cartels. The cartels got into the border, and then we literally took U.S. tax dollars, and we paid billions of dollars to complete that transaction for the cartel and take illegal aliens into the United States. And they massively profited from this. And the whole time they said, oh, we're just doing good. We're helping out the U.S. government. You know, we're helping out these poor migrants. We're just the good people here. And all the time they knew that essentially they were perpetuating the evil of human trafficking, and they were massively profiting from it. So, you know, it just goes to show that you can corrupt anything. Catholic Charities, like I've been in the disaster response business for 30 plus years. Catholic Charities was widely regarded as the most effective and efficient charity in a disaster scenario in the world. If you wanted your money to do good, you wouldn't give it to the Red Cross. You'd give it to Catholic Charities. They have devolved into essentially a leftist money laundering machine.
And really under the radar. That's, I think, less so now.
The tragic thing is it's not under the radar because, you know, much like you and I have been talking about illegal migration and what a disaster is going to be for the 4 years of the Biden administration, people have been talking about this NGO thing for years, and it's all in plain sight. And it's like you know, Inspector Renault in Casablanca. Like, I'm shocked to discover there's gambling going on in this establishment after they hand him his roulette winnings. The reality is that Biden's been getting away with this for years, and we just all turn a blind eye to it. And it's completely appalling.
It's devastating.
And then for these leftists to stand up and say that somehow the administration are the bad guys. Look, think about this. Basically, what they've said is, Musk is evil. What they basically said is, auditing government spending, providing transparency in government spending, and identifying really egregious behavior that no normal human being would accept is okay, that somehow that's a threat to democracy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Democracy. That's what they're saying.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. So we've got the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, effectively running USAID now. And the NGOs, are they a separate but useful group of organizations to USAID? Do they operate hand in hand? What happens now that Marco Rubio is in charge?
Well, I mean, it's like football teams. I mean, not all teams are created equal. But I got to say, you know, we all complain about the military-industrial complex. What people haven't paid attention to is there is a humanitarian industrial complex. There are very large NGOs that are making massive amounts of money, mostly coming in from U.S. taxpayers, and all they care is that the money keeps flowing. They don't care about the outcomes. They don't care about the deliverables. All they care is that they make massive amounts of money. There's an association, this is called the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition, or something like that, USGLC, which is like an association of these NGOs. And they get all these retired generals and retired secretaries, and they all talk about how wonderful foreign aid and how great this American humanitarian, you know, impulse is. And, you know, I went and briefed these guys after Trump got elected the first time, and I said, look, you guys have got to change your business model here. It says, this administration is interested on foreign policy that serves America's interests, not like you guys just keep doing whatever you want to do, and as long as you're getting money. And they looked at me and they're like, we don't care. And they literally spent 4 years fighting Trump on this, and they just kept doing exactly what they're doing. And now what's happened is Trump has come back. He knows what he's doing, and he's seen this game before, and he is not going to let them get away with this. And I just think they're a bunch of crooks.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Last question. It's kind of the bring it all back to home question. If Marco Rubio takes over USAID, I don't know if they've got to burn the whole thing down and build something back up. Can the United States of America still be a charitable, giving country without the systems in place that are currently in place right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact is there are actually a lot of very competent people in the Trump administration or who have worked with Donald Trump who know exactly how to do foreign aid in a way that focuses on outcomes and not making NGOs rich and not rewarding political friends. And they know how to do their job, and they can do their job. And there's lots of ways to deliver foreign aid. But, you know, the funny thing is most of the world doesn't really want our foreign aid. They really, really don't. What they want is they want investment in their countries. And so mostly what they really want is they want companies to come in and invest in their countries. So this foreign aid thing is actually, it does more harm than good. It's like a lot of times not every bit, don't get me wrong. I mean, there were definitely things like, you know, like PEPFAR, for example, that helped eliminate AIDS crisis in Africa. There are good programs. I'm not saying that. But a lot of these things are like parents who give their kids crack, you know, because they want to help their kids. It's just not working. Making people addicted to, you know, and the other thing is the money that does go into the country in these big programs, a lot of times it goes into the hands of oligarchs who just keep the money. And you know, one of the biggest recipients of American foreign aid, George Soros' Open Society Foundation. So much of this money is funneled directly into those groups and their projects, which have a foreign policy all their own, which is not aligned with the United States.
Right. Bringing it all into the light. That's what it seems like is happening right now. And sometimes I look and I just feel like all the right people are really, really upset right now. It's kind of one of the ways to judge them. Jim, thank you. We appreciate you. We look forward to having you back again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jim Carafano, Senior Counselor to the President and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation, on X at JJ Carafano. Go follow him. Tell him thanks for coming on the show. He's so great to us. All right. Dorai Murdoch, usually a Wednesday. It's not Wednesday, but we're moving him up a day here. Who do we have next? Who do we have tomorrow at 105?
Senator Schmidt.
Okay. That's right. Senator Eric Schmidt. We asked him to come on the show. We were always asking him to come on the show. And he could come on at Dorai's time. And it turned out Dorai, I think, had an appointment or something at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So it just worked out. So we're going to talk to Dorai Murdoch about how much winning can one individual voter handle. Well, we'll ask Dorai Murdoch that question, see if he's sick of winning quite yet. Are you sick of winning?